Hey, we've just tested the mic, and this is an interview with Mr. Rudolph Young on March 15th, 1999, Lincolnton, North Carolina. And Mr. Young, if you could just say a few words while we test this and make sure it's picking up everything.
Yeah, my name is Rudolph Young.
Okay.
That'll
work. Is anything happening with the needles there? Mr. Young, can you describe your parents? Where were they from? What did they do for a living?
My father was from Catawba County, and my mother was from Cleveland County. Basically, they were farmers, tenant farmers in the beginning. They got married in Cleveland County and moved to Lincoln County shortly after they were married, into the western part of Lincoln County. It's where a lot of the farming and a lot of the tenant farmers lived.
And what year was this?
This is in the 1930s, during the Depression.
When did you said you were born in Lincoln County?
I was born in Lincoln County. My parents worked as tenant farmers in West Lincoln for a time, and then they moved to the center of the county, which is Lincolnton Township, the community of Poplar Springs, where some of my brothers and sisters were born. And then they eventually moved to the Iron Station section, which is in the eastern part of the county. And while they were in the eastern part of the county, they purchased a small farm and purchased a house that had to be torn down and rebuilt on their property. And it was there that I was born, in that on that small farm in East Lincoln, on Iron Station.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
There were originally 11, and there were two sets of twins, and I was a twin, and my twin dad as a child, and I think there are six of us now, one of my older brother having dad in 78.
And do they still live around here?
I have a brother that lives in Lincoln County, and a sister, two sisters that lives in California, one sister that lives in Atlanta, Georgia. I have a brother that lives in Portland, Oregon, and a brother living in Los Angeles, California.
And when did you decide, or when did the family decide to move north?
Well, my mother and father never moved north. Because of the job situation, as my sisters that were nearer to me graduated from high school, they went north to find work. And because there weren't really any jobs for black students leaving school. So a lot of them went north to find work. Those who remained here ended up working in either agriculture and domestic. But anyway, when I graduated, well, this happened before I graduated. This happened when I was going into high school. My older brother, a brother that was 2 years older, had gone to Connecticut and had started going to school there. And then later on, when I was 13 years old, they decided to send me to Connecticut also to live with my sister, because they felt that the better education opportunities were there. And after 1 year, decided that I would be better off going to school here in the South, and I returned.
And did you attend a public school in the North? Where in the North did you live?
I lived in Middletown, Connecticut, and I attended a public school.
And how would you describe the relationship between whites and blacks in Middletown as opposed to Lincolnton?
And that depends on when. Are you talking about at the time?
Yes.
The relationship, I didn't see too much, say, friction in the relationship between blacks and whites in the school and in the town of Middletown. But there were a lot of subtle racism. Such as we had black communities. A lot of them were segregated. There were separate clubs, but there was a subtle type of racism. Even though segregation didn't exist in the way that we understand to be in the South, but there was some discrimination.
Now, were the schools segregated?
No, the schools were integrated.
So you, during our previous discussion, you mentioned that you had been a part of the track team in Connecticut. And so were all the athletic teams and just the entire school community integrated, or was there any segregation within the school?
No, there was no segregation within the school. I was on the football team and the track team.
And how would you describe the relationship between the athletes on the teams there? Was it colorblind, or was it, I mean, did the athletes hang out together outside of practice and games, or?
No. I went to practice. I played on the team, but there was no interaction between the students and the athletes, or between athletes or the team members, other than on the practice field or football field. When practice was over, I went back to the black community, and I stayed there until went to school the next day. There was no interaction.
The
coaches were white. In fact, very few blacks attended that school in Middletown High School in Connecticut. There's very few blacks there. It had a small black population in the town, and a lot of those blacks in that town came from the rural South. A lot of them came from Eastern North Carolina.
You mentioned earlier there was some subtle, prejudice or what am I looking for? There was some subtle, like, tension maybe between the races there, but nothing compared to those segregation as it was in the South. Now, can you describe kind of the situation in Lincolnton, maybe as opposed to the situation in Middletown?
Well, by subtle racism is that, I mean, by the, you did not see it, but you encountered it as you as you went through your daily life. In the South, you could see it. They had separated school systems. They had down in the town, basically, it was segregated. There were even separate drinking facilities. Even in the courthouse, they had separate bathroom facilities. There are certain places you couldn't go. Even in the home, sometimes they required that a black person come in there and use the back door. There were the racial climate was, first of all, it was segregated, and it had a rigid code and custom, and it was enforced.
What kind of job did your sister get while you were living with
her? My sister became a nurse at the state hospital in Middletown, Connecticut. In fact, all three of them.
Do you think that on the athletic teams, Middletown High School, there was any prejudice with regard to like who they kept and who they cut, things like that? Or did they make an attempt to just evaluate completely on talent, or was there some sort of quota system?
I did not notice any discrimination that way. Usually based on ability. Of course, you always had the situation where the most influential families got their kids on the team, but that it's not necessarily race in that particular case. It has a lot to do with the social standing of the parents, but other than that, it wasn't too much.
And now, after the 1 year at Middletown, you came back here and attended Newbold High School.
Right.
Can you describe Newbold High School? Was it the only black high school in Lincoln County?
Well, Lincoln County? Yeah, it was the only black high school in Lincoln County, and it was the physical plant had been recently built. It was built in 1952, and it was the most modern high school as far as the physical plant was concerned. It was a segregated school, and what had happened is that they had a Lincoln public school system and a Lincoln County public school system, and they, for the black high school, they consolidated the Lincoln, the blacks in the city of Lincoln and the blacks in the county.
So all of the blacks in the entire county
went to this high school. Went to this high school.
And how many students were there?
Well, it was probably about 500 in the high school, but 500 in the school. But the school had grades 1 through 12. So I would assume that there were not more than 200 high school students at any given time.
Do you have any idea how that compares to the size of Lincoln High School or later East Lincoln High School?
No, I have no idea, but I'm pretty well. You can go by the senior graduating class. Say that when I graduated, there were 39 people in my class, and when Lincoln High School graduated, they had over 300. So you can judge the size of the school.
Do you think that Newbold received fair treatment in terms of funding and supplies in comparison to the white schools in the county, or was there some discrimination there?
Absolutely not, and there was some discrimination as far as equal facilities. We had our science lab was not up to date, did not have most of the equipment. The books, we did not receive new books. Our books were books that were discarded or discontinued at the White High School. We did not have an activity bus. The black students and the parents purchased their own activity bus. There were a lot of things. We didn't have weight rooms, and we had a gym. But there were, as I said, it was a modern physical plant, but it was a shell as far as the equipment and the facilities inside the school.
And now, how about uniforms for athletic teams? We've in class we discussed like prior to integration, a lot of times the black schools would get hand-me-down uniforms from the white schools, which sometimes didn't even have their school colors. Was that your experience, or did New Bold have its own uniforms, new uniforms?
Well, that was pretty much the situation at New Bold. We we purchased, we was able to purchase new uniforms in my senior year. But even that, the uniforms were not, did not represent the school colors, as at least in football. And basketball, now, of course, it was easier to get by uniforms with school colors. But in football, I don't ever remember wearing a uniform with school colors, which was blue and gold at that particular time.
Now, when you purchased them your senior year, who funded that? Was it a parent-student organization again?
I don't remember.
Mm. What sports did you play growing up and in high school? You mentioned track and football.
Track and football. I played, well, track and football is the only sports that I participated in high school.
And talking about the press, you mentioned the two papers in Lincoln County earlier. How much coverage did high school sports get in the newspapers, and was there equal attention given to the white schools and New Bold?
Of course not. If you look at the newspapers, the coverage of sports, you don't see much before 1960. You see a little bit in 1960, 61, 62, and then in 63 it picks up a bit, and then 64 65, but actually it did not, blacks coverage in sports did not happen until integration. However, they did cover games, sports in blacks during the period of segregation. And I noticed that in the schools dealing with the white sports, it was covered by a sports writer, but the games and the black school was covered by student reporters.
So students from New Bold would submit articles about,
right.
Now, was there any sort of demonstration or outrage or public display of like trying to get more coverage for sports?
No. It was the attitude of the black people at that time that to be included in the newspaper at all was a privilege, and they did not pursue that.
How much contact did you have with whites while you were in high school?
None. Very little.
And were you living in the eastern part of the county again after you moved back?
Right.
Okay. And is this near Denver or?
No, Iron Station. The Mount Vernon community. Denver is the far eastern part of the county. Mm-hmm. But East Lincoln starts at Iron Station to the Denver area.
Was there ever any informal activities, games, competitions, pickup stuff between whites and blacks, or did you participate and play only in the segregated?
Right. There was no contact with whites in regard to sports. Our community every now and then would pick up a football game between communities, but I don't ever remember that happening but once or twice.
And how were those situations organized? Was it just spur of the moment?
Yeah, and get together and say, well, let's play that community over there. And the guys would show up and play a game. And then again, too, it shows the disparity. I remember we played a white team from my community of Mount Vernon. We played a white team also in Iron Station. And these were kids from Hudson School. And we played football, and they showed up with their football uniforms on from their high school, and from the high school and the elementary school, and we didn't have any.
Did you have pads and stuff like that?
We didn't have any uniforms at all. And we played them.
And what was kind of the environment of those games? I mean, were you out to prove anything in terms of other than just the personal?
Well, other than being beaten, that was one thing to be proved. I mean, you just playing ball.
And was there racial tension? I mean,
I don't think that was racial tension. It's just that they were better coached, better equipment. And so, I mean, we just outclassed because we didn't, you know. And I don't think the equipment made a difference. I mean, you know, then we didn't get hurt or anything like that, but it just that they were just better. They was a better team. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. We got beat.
And this was just something that you all had organized yourselves?
Yeah.
So there were no adults or coaches?
No, there was no adults involved. And there were, I guess there were high school students that were, referees, umpires that were doing. But there really wasn't any adults involved in it. We didn't play them again because we felt that we were at a disadvantage.
No, do you think you had, I mean, obviously you had some good athletes on it. Do you think with better coaching, if you'd had better coaching, do you think that was a difference?
I don't think it was coaching. I think it was better organization for one thing. And these, a lot of our, I was the only, maybe the one other person who had experience playing football in school. The other kids had not played any sports because they did not have, Nubo went from ninth grade to 12th grade. There was no junior high school or, you know, these people had not had the opportunity to play before they got in high school. So it is a matter of, in that case, a matter of experience because we had not, most of our team had not had the opportunity to play football. Yet the other team had the opportunity to play football because they had a junior high teams or, you know, so.
Now where did the game take place?
It took place in a field.
Just on the edge of the two communities, or?
Well, you could say, no, it was in their community, in the white community.
And was it a big event in terms of?
No, the only people who were there were the people who were playing. There were no spectators or people.
Did you tell your parents about it?
There's no need to. I mean, there was no need to tell them. I mean.
So did you think this was a big event or just something that happened?
I don't think it was a big event. It just that it was something that happened. I mean, black kids and white kids occasionally came together and played together, but I don't think it was any big event. It's just that it's something that I remember happening, and you know, while I was in school.
Mm-hmm. Now we've heard a few tidbits about your success as an athlete and achievements. Can you kind of go into that a little more and tell us about your football career, just position-wise, and your track career, and things like that, and some of the achievements and things from your career.
I played football 2 years and I played offensive fullback and defensive tackle. And I was on the track team 3 years, and I first year I did track events, and the second year I did field events. And as far as successes in track and field, I participated in the state meet 3 years in a row. And winning gold medals in the shot put, long jump, and discus.
So is a gold medal equivalent to the state champion then?
Well, that is a medal in the all medals are in were gold in the state meet. Either the first, second, and third. My senior year, at first in the long jump, second in the shot put, and I did not receive any medals in the distance. I mean, in the track events, because I only ran 1 year. And it was decided, my coach decided that it was better that I participate in field events rather than track events. In football, I finished my high school career as being the leading scorer of all times. And and also in as fullback, and as tackle, I made all conference.
What was the response, if any, the white community to your athletic success?
None.
And what was the response of the black community? Was it, did you get a lot of support from the black community? Was New Bold a center point for the black community in Lincoln County?
Well, it's on the high school, so all the students who went to high school went to that school.
But as far as, did the community take pride in the athletic achievements?
Well, they supported their teams. They other than that, it's just the general support you get from your parents and community.
And when we were talking before, you mentioned a story about your track coach putting down a marker for one of the throwing events, either shot or discus, and talking about this is where, this is how far a student from Lincoln's in through, and you have to beat this. Now, were there any of these, were there any other situations that you can remember where, like, the achievements of the white students were used as inspiration or encouragement or a driving point for your training?
No, that points up the segregated school, the segregated school system. It's just that most people want to know how good they are, you know, and that was a measuring device where you could measure your achievement. Of course, it was a much larger, Lincoln High School is a much larger school, so therefore it follows that they would have a lot more better athletes, you know. But the track and field was reported the times and distance reported in the newspaper, and you could compare your time and distance with those. And overall, it shows that we, even though we were a much smaller school, had better times and distances, even though we were disadvantaged as far as equipment and this sort of thing. And the incidents that I related was that this guy had thrown the shot put and he had set the school record at his school, at Lincoln High School. And I could throw at least 5 feet further in the shot put.
And what did your coach do? Can you tell us again when he, I guess he had seen the distance in the paper?
Right, yeah, he had seen the distance in the paper, and then when I went to practice, he had a flag on the field, and he said, I want you to throw. That's how far John Dellinger can throw. And my reaction was, who in the hell is John Dellinger? I thought, you know, maybe he was an Olympic athlete or something, you know. And then I found out he was a student at Lincoln High School, whom I've never met. Didn't know him.
Never heard of him?
And never heard of him to that point.
You met him since?
Nope. I understand he's still in Lincoln. I've asked, you know, people, you know, he's still, evidently still in Lincoln.
Now, did you want to play against white schools and or compete against white athletes other than just comparing times and distances?
No, I did not. I mean, that's something that never entered my,
Do you remember any other cases where coaches came to you and said, this is what, you know, Joe Schmo at Lincolnton High School did?
No other incident.
And did they use the achievements of students at black schools, other black schools, as measuring sticks?
Well, I mean, there was no problem with that, because when you went to track meets, you played, you ran against black schools, so no problem with that. As far as my performance, I was one of the best in the state, so I knew how good I was.
The state meets were black and white.
Well, based on the records that I saw, I was the best in the state, black or white. Mm-hmm.
But did you? Were the meets were not integrated?
Hmm? No, there was no conferences also were segregated.
So you paid no attention then to the white, other than maybe looking in the paper.
Well, I really didn't do it. I didn't even look in the paper to compare it, just that my coach did. But I, you know, I that didn't concern me.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that was true for most of the athletes in New Bowl? They were pretty much unconcerned with what was going on.
Of course, they were. Of course, is I don't remember anybody being really interested in what was going on in athletics at Lincoln High School.
Did you ever, or did any white people come to games at New Bold and come to watch y'all play or compete?
I saw a few that were there, but you know, they has a, you know, I don't know who they were.
Mm. And were the referees and judges in these games?
Right. Everybody was black. There was no integration at all.
And how about college recruiters?
During that time, blacks weren't going to the major schools here in North Carolina. When we're talking major school, we're talking about UNC Chapel Hill. UNC Charlotte had just started. They didn't have a team. Duke and all the blacks weren't going to those schools, and definitely they weren't being recruited. So the people that were who were recruiting at black schools were black people at predominantly black schools in the state. Mm-hmm. And really, the black schools really didn't have to do anything to recruit. because they know that black athletes could not go any place else, black schools. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, it's this had this thing about supply and demand. Mm-hmm. Unlike today, where black athletes are going to the major schools and they are recruited by the major schools because those schools will give them an entry into the pros, you know. Mm-hmm. So what we have now in the black schools, they get what we call the second tier of athletes. A classic example of that is the game between Duke and Florida A&M. That's a classic example. In the past, Florida A&M would have very good athletes, the best black athletes, because blacks couldn't go anyplace else. But now most blacks want to go to Duke, Maryland, you know, and so what we got is the second tier of black athletes.
I guess, do you remember any other, we're really interested in specific stories about either your career at Newbold playing sports with regard to discrimination or just interaction with whites, what little that there was?
There was no interaction there. And as far as recruiting is concerned, I was recruited to John C. Smith University and went there my freshman year and got my shoulder broke. And during the summer, I ended up getting drafted into the military. As far as there was not very much interaction because there was no interaction between the communities. There was no interaction between the schools. Let's see. Now, that I could see, because it was a strictly segregated society.
Mm. Did you find the segregated society continued even in military service?
No. When I went in the military, it was early 60s, 1964, which means the society was very segregated. But then when you got in the military, it was an integrated military. But then too, there were certain inequities and discrimination in the early years when I went in. But basically, the whites and blacks competed with each other, and there was no problem there, seemingly. But these were people that had come from a segregated society, you know, from the hometowns. I met people in the military from Lincoln, white people from the military from Lincoln, that I met in the military, but we had no opportunity to meet while we were in Lincoln.
Was there any tension in those relationships, or did you develop friendships?
No. Normally, white and black friend in the military, whites and blacks, you normally do not, in my experience anyway, did not develop friendships. Even when there is a close association, but nothing you would call a friendship. I noticed, in Vietnam, we were closely associated, but then it wasn't a friendship because when we returned to the States, they went that way, and we never had any contact. So, from that standpoint, no. And I noticed that also in the military, blacks tended to associate with other blacks, and whites tended to other whites.
Children of your own?
I have one son.
Oh, How
old is he? 25.
Was he an athlete too?
No. I mean, in high school, he wrestled. He didn't play football.
And did he go to East Lincoln High School?
No, he went to East Gaston. 11 Stanley, which is in Gaston County.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say or share?
No, unless you have a question to ask. I don't know particularly.
How do you think relationships or racial relations change between the time when you were in high school and the time after integration? Do you think there was obviously more contact? Do you think there was much more tension too?
Well, I don't know. Because when I left, it was a segregated. And then I went into military. And I stayed in the military 11 years. And then I returned back to Lincoln County. So what I saw was a great contrast between what was before and what was then. And particularly in the day-to-day contact, I noticed the day-to-day contact with white people. For example, going to a store and someone saying, "Sir, may I help you?" or "Ma'am, may I help you?" does not seem to be very much. I mean, if you were working in a store, you would be polite to customers. But it was, before, it was never relate to a black person as sir or mister. That was one. Also, with the civil rights movement came the right to privacy. Also came discriminatory laws and so forth. For example, if my parents want to buy me a pair of shoes, they would have to know my shoe size. They would go down and buy the shoes and bring them back. Under no circumstances could blacks try on clothes in any stores downtown Lincoln or any shoes. They had something called the Piedmont Area Development Association, which was segregated and then it integrated in 67, 68. And it was competition between the diverse communities. And I noticed that the Mount Vernon community dominated that after they were allowed to participate. And that led to some resentment because of that domination by the Mount Vernon chapter to PADA. Piedmont Area Development Association. There were other things that I noticed that was a stark contrast between what was before and what was later on. I noticed that blacks began to buy houses in other areas outside the black community. Before, you can only buy houses within the geographical area of the black communities. And something happened in West Lincoln. Before, but when I left, there was a large black community in West Lincoln. When I came back, there was very few blacks living in West Lincoln. And this came about because when the blacks were there working as tenant farmers, and then when 66, 67, I was coming, then opportunities began to open in the factories. They began to move away. I've talked to some, they said they would have stayed there if they were allowed to purchase land. The people in West Lincoln would not sell land to black people, especially when they had something called the Federal Home Administration, the Farmers Home Administration, where you could where you purchase houses according to your income. Well, black people weren't able to buy the land to buy the house, so a lot of them moved to East Lincoln, or moved to Cherville, or moved to Newton, other places. That was one reason why the population shifted from West Lincoln to East Lincoln, or out of West Lincoln. That was one. That was another. A contrast. There are still in 65. They had two policemen. They appointed two black policemen in Lincoln, but they were restricted to the black communities. It was not until 1976 that they got two qualified policemen based on qualifications other than political appointments. So there are a lot of little, you know, things that I can you know, in a difference. But then there were certain institutions that continued to be segregated, such as the VFW here in Lincoln, and American Legion. They are still segregated. At the time, there were the fast food eating establishment, which we had only two. We had Plaza Grill, had City Lunch, and had this It's out here on Main Street. They were segregated to the point where if you went to those places that they had curb service underneath that shelter, blacks could not park underneath. They had to park on the side. Our teacher told us that, you know, you don't have to pay to be insulted. Of course, even today, I do not frequent those places. City Lunch, blacks went up an alley in the back where to put out the garbage. And food was handed to them out the back of the restaurant. I do not go to City Lunch even today. So, even though those places now are open to blacks, it's best not. I just don't freaking them.
You mentioned that your teacher told you not pay to be insulted. Did teachers tend to tell their students life lessons aside from the regular academic?
Yeah, of course. That was one incident dealing with stores, and it was particular about City Lunch in Lincoln, and that was an incident. Well, not incident. If you went, you bought food there. That's the way you bought it. And she was saying, well, don't go there. You do not pay to be insulted. At that particular time, we had also in the black community, we had places where places where you could go, but it wasn't a place that would go all the time. You could go during the weekends, place like nothing like that. And that was another difference is when the era of integration, when the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and all those places came in, it killed the black mom and pops in their communities. People went to those places instead of.
Did it have the same effect on the white mom and pop?
No. It did not have the same effect on as the white, because the whites who had the mom and pop places ended up getting the franchises to McDonald's and Burger Kings, and so it didn't have the same effect. I realized that It's out here has under different management. The people at that particular time had nothing to do with what they were doing then, but they just idea the same company, the same name. And that is my hang up,
Now, are you aware of any, both before you left and after you came back from the military, any political, membership by members of the KKK or other, like, obviously outwardly discriminatory groups?
Well, those groups have always been in Lincoln County. And from time to time, they emerge. It's no more than those that exist today here. There were some cases that was a case where the first actually civil rights case, I mean, where the NAACP was involved in Lincoln was the Hollybrook Cemetery, the Integration of Hollybrook Cemetery, and it was not in the school system. And I know some incidents happened over the years, but that was the first one.
This is jumping way back, but and again, I've asked you a few questions about this already, so if you don't want to talk about it anymore, I understand, but talking about that informal game between the white and the black communities, can you kind of go back over, like, how that came about and just the general tone of the game and how it turned out? And you mentioned the uniforms before. Are there any other things that stand out in your mind about that event?
No, I don't really. Other than I don't know who mentioned it or who first mentioned it. I'll remember that we got a team together and we went and we met in this field. And we began to play football. Other than that, I don't particularly. As far as the atmosphere, since there were a disparity in the ages and sizes of the team,
within both teams.
On both teams, they had high school kids all the way down to 10 years old. And this was true on both teams. But other than that, I don't remember any racial tension being involved. The only tension was the tension involved in playing a football game, and where you're getting frustrated because you're losing, or other than that, but. Other than that, I think the game was overall was played fairly. I mean, it just that we're just outclassed. I offer no excuses to why we lost. I could say that because they had some of not all of the all of the all of the white team members did not have uniforms, but a lot of the majority of them did, but. I don't think that in itself made the difference in the performance. Of course, if you had pads and helmets, you could hit harder. But I don't think that really made a difference, because a lot of the they relied mostly on, I noticed on our, we relied on passes and running. Of course, we did run some, but I don't think that really made a difference. I think that they had more experienced people.
And the teams were all black and then all white. You didn't have to do any mixing to get equal numbers or anything like that.
No. There's one team from one community, another team from another community. That community was white. And our community was black. Mm-hmm. And I knew of course, I knew some of the people that were on the other team, but they went to different schools other than seeing them, you know, and knowing where they lived and, you know, none of that.
So how did you get to know them then?
I would see them,
you know. See them around?
See them around different, but there was no really association. I just knew the people.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to say then?
Nope.
All right, well, I really appreciate your time. And do you know of anyone else that we could talk to or might be interested in sharing some of their experiences?
I don't know. You can talk to Leroy Magnus. You can call him on the phone and ask him.
What was that name?
Leroy Magnus. Magness.
And was he a classmate of yours?
No. He's about 75, 80 years old. He lives in here next. That book they just put out was Lincoln Tales. But anyway, Leroy Magnus put a story in here. But anyway, you can call him and talk to him. I mean,
how about any of your classmates or maybe your siblings' classmates? Or your siblings themselves?
Yeah, no, there aren't any of them around. I had some classmates around.